This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here talking this morning, and I'm going to be following our series on justice with a focus on justice for the elderly. So we're going to get started straight in the Bible. Let's turn to Luke 2, verse 36. That's where I'm going to be beginning this morning. Luke 2, verse 36. There was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after a marriage and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, worshipping and fasting and praying day and night. Coming up at that moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child Jesus to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You see, Anna's an inspiring Bible character. She's widowed young with no children, and yet she devotes herself to serving God. She spends much of her time in the temple telling others of Jesus, coming, encouraging, inspiring, and signposting others to God and his promises. So often we can think of the elderly as not having much to contribute. And if you're elderly, you might have felt that. You might feel that your voice is minimized or people dismiss you. I remember when I was 14, I was struggling. I was at odds with my family and I was rebelling strongly against Christian values. And I'd resorted to living a kind of isolated, self-harming ways that excluded others. And I realise now that I was suffering with terrible mental health and that nobody was noticing. There was a lady in her late 70s in church known as Auntie Mary, and she lived in a cottage on her own, and she cycled about the town with her little black dog Pippa in the basket up front. After each Sunday service, she would come up to me and talk to me, even though I was sending signals that I didn't want anyone to talk to me. And she'd always bring me a biscuit, and she would sit with me and ask me how I was, and I would lie to her, and she would persevere in this. And she started saying that she was praying for me, and that she would give me scriptures and words of encouragement and words of knowledge. And eventually, over time, she just broke through that hard protective shell I had built. And I started to visit her midweek and just lay my woes at her feet. Auntie Mary was always gracious, unconditionally loving, and she just let me spill things, and she would impart her wisdom and her gentleness into my life and keep posting me back to Jesus. And it was her who stepped up with me when I said I wanted to follow Jesus, and it was her who came with me when I said I wanted to be baptized, and she discipled me in baptism and reading the Bible, in operating in the Holy Spirit and listening for this voice of God. And she was just such a great person in helping lay healthy, strong foundations in my life. She was the first to give me a pocket Bible as I went off to university. And even though it's damaged and falling apart, I keep hold of it as a constant prophetic reminder that you are never too old to have input into the lives of others. I'm passionate about involving the older generations in the discipleship of younger people. Intergenerational church family is key for our strength. When I read the Bible, I'm always drawn and inspired by the tribes of Israel that just grew in number and added to their number and drew in other family lines and those isolated from theirs. So today I want to look at God's view of the elderly through the lens of the Bible and how we should respond to God's heart for the elderly. But I also want to highlight that it is still possible for the older generation to play a part in our community. The Bible has quite a lot to say, and I want to share some verses with you. I don't expect you to look them all up, but just listen to what the Bible has to say. Psalm 68:5. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Leviticus 19:32. You shall stand up before the grey head and honour the face of an old man and revere your God. 1 Timothy 5. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat older women as mothers. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first to put their faith into practice by caring for their own family and repaying their parents and grandparents, because this pleases God. The widow who is really in need and left alone puts their hope in God. Gives the people these instructions. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially their own household has denied the faith. If anyone who believes has widows in their care, they should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so the church can help the widows that are really in need. Proverbs 16:31 says, grey hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Psalm 92:12-14, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar. Planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts. They still bear fruit in old age and they are ever full of sap and green. You see, from these verses, I understand that God values the elderly. He has an expectation that the younger generations will revere, uphold the cause of the elderly and protect them. And the older generations will lead the younger ones by example and love. The church has a role in taking care of the elderly, and particularly if we have elderly within our own families, we are the first port of call to look after them. The elderly often have wisdom and experience that we can receive good counsel and instruction from. The culture that we live in often sees the elderly as a hindrance, as people who have nothing to contribute. It is easy to ignore the elderly, overlook them and treat them as though their lives are worthless. This is not the example we are taught and see in the Bible. In biblical terms, growing old is seen as a blessing and a privilege. French actor and singer Maurice Chevalier was quoted saying, "Old age isn't as bad when you think about the alternative." If you are older in years, you are a blessed one. Being old is not a given. Being wise or mature isn't a given. As we grow older, we can learn from our life and grow in grace and wisdom, or we can become petulant and growing in offence and criticism. You see, which we choose will determine how much wisdom and joy we have to share with others. It will also determine how much younger generations respond to us. But conversely, if younger generations dismiss the elderly, they can expect an ungrateful and critical response. God's plan for the church is that we are to honour those who are elderly and weak in our community. There is an expectation that we will care for the elderly, that we will seek their counsel and that we will honour them. Likewise, I think that the Bible teaches that you can be 84 like Anna, prophesying the good news of Jesus, or Caleb, who at 85 went out and fought for the promised land. Or you can receive a generational promise like Abraham at the age of 75 and have a child at 100 years old. Or you can be a Noah building an ark at 600 years old. And even the Apostle John, who was an exile on Patmos, received the great vision of Revelation at 100, what they believe is 100 years old. I don't care much for the current attitude of discounting the elderly. I believe in an unchanging God who is the same today and then. And he says there is life, calling and purpose for the over 70s. And we need to align ourselves to that truth. The elderly are valuable, relevant, and they can be a source of strength to others in the church. They have heritage and stories that inspire others to keep pursuing Jesus. The elderly are of enormous value within the church. If you're elderly, we need you. And when you don't lead or come alongside the younger people in the church is weaker for your absence. Do you know you're part of God's plan for strengthening the church, giving counsel and demonstrating unconditional faithful love? But church, we have a responsibility to the elderly amongst us. Alison Flowers was a great example of fulfilling the instruction in Timothy of, she cared so deeply for her parents in their old age, nursing them and providing for them. They weren't a burden to the church, and yet Alison's example should be picked up by us. We should be looking for those who don't have family to look after them. But we must get so good at looking after our own emotional, physical and spiritual well-being that we are well positioned to care well for the older generations within our church and local communities. Is this something we are prepared to make space for? Some elderly are the weakest, poorest, most vulnerable and most isolated. They don't always have the resource to reach out to others. And so we need to ask after them and offer invitation and support, drawing them into our circles. David Wallace put on the Growth Group Leaders notice that the World Health Organization reports that around 1 in 6 elderly people are experiencing some kind of physical, emotional, psychological, and or even sexual abuse, neglect, exploitation, fraud, abandonment, or ageism discrimination every year. More needs to be done to support the elderly, and I just believe that the church is well positioned to do this. There are many reasons the elderly are vulnerable to abuses, but the more they are known, loved, and supported, the more protected they will be. The US Catholic bishop said, basic justice demands the establishment of minimal levels of participation in the life of human community for all persons. The ultimate injustice for a personal group to be treated actively or abandoned passively as if they were non-believers of the human race. To treat people this way is effectively to say they simply do not count as human beings. They can take many forms, all of which can be described as varieties of marginalization or exclusions from social life. Many elder people find themselves excluded, and we need to find ways to be the community around them that protects and affirms them. For some of us, this will mean we need to get involved in elder justice as a strategy to protect from elder abuse. So how are we as the church to respond to the needs of the elderly amongst us? We need to look for ways to support the isolated in our community, even inviting some of the older people known to us into our homes. And this has been practically impossible over the last 18 months. So it is even more important now, as many of these people have been hugely isolated from family and friends. Let's intentionally find out how they're doing and draw them into our hospitality, especially if they have no blood relatives to look after them. We can volunteer to visit elderly people. We can befriend an elderly person we know in the community. We can check in how they're doing. We can listen to their stories. We can tidy their garden, clean their homes. We can fetch prescriptions, and we can play their favourite tunes of old. There's nothing more isolating than dementia. My father had Alzheimer's before he died, and currently Ian's dad is suffering with severe dementia. I believe the Spirit of God still connects with individuals suffering dementia. And as people made in the image of God, these individuals need human contact and the love of God. If you didn't see my blog, I'm hopeful we could become a dementia-friendly church. Alternatively, you could support the local council by becoming a shared lives carer. As a shared lives carer, you can provide support to older people who may have dementia, but also people experiencing mental health issues or with physical or sensory impairments, or adults with learning difficulties. I invite you to pray and ask, is the Lord calling you to love and serve the elderly? Our older members need some consideration. They may find our pace and events tiring. They may need to take things slower and not join in with everything. Let us be compassionate, gentle, and understanding, but let us be grateful for their contribution as they are the grandpas and grandmas of the church family. As the church, we are meant to be more than we currently are. As a community, could it be that we're such a radically loving church family that we draw in the elderly and the esteemed amongst us? Maybe you're advanced in years and you need to repent and break away from the lies of the enemy that would say you are of no value in the church. The church needs your voice. The younger generations need your love, your reassurance, your wisdom, your encouragement, your prayers, and they need to be inspired by your love for Jesus. Draw near to learn and understand what it means to be a younger person in this current culture. Find out why poor mental health is soaring amongst our youngsters. Hear the pressures and expectations they're under and unpick the confusion amongst the myriad of clamouring voices in their lives. You are never too old to serve in the kingdom of God. While there is breath in your body, some movement in your joints and a heart that connects you to Jesus, even if all you can do is sit and pray, do you know what a powerful gift that is? Both my own mother and Ian's mother inspired us both. My mum would regularly visit an elderly lady put in a care home, and Ian's mum would volunteer serving the elderly, even though many of them were younger than her. So don't discount yourself. You are of value, and Jesus still wants you to be a blessing to others. I invite you to ask Jesus where and what, how he wants you to join in. I know there are young people in the church who do not have older people in their lives. Can you see that God designed the church to be a radically interwoven, loving family? Being family is costly. It takes time. It takes listening. It takes investment. And it takes faithfulness and unconditional love. I believe we can step up to be more than we currently are. In doing so, let us pursue justice for the elderly and let them know they are valuable to us. So I just want to thank you all for coming today. And I'm just going to hand you over to David and Alison, who are going to lead us in a time of ministry.
Hi. Oh, thank you, Liz. That was so inspiring. I feel excited about growing old in this community. And it felt a bit like a cultural myth buster in terms of our, you know, we see life as we up, then there's a peak and then it's all downhill from here on. Well, I feel like it's just a straight going up and up, which was just so encouraging. Thank you so much, Liz. We're going to be sharing communion together very soon, but we're just going to do a little bit of prayer ministry first. So over to you.
Yeah, let's just pray into what Liz was speaking about. Let's start with, I want to pray for all of those of you who work with the elderly, that's your job, or who just find yourself in a place where you are caring for the elderly, parents or other people. And so if that's you, would you just receive and let us pray for you? Father, we thank you for those whose calling and ministry, whether long-term or short-term, is to care for the elderly now. For all of those amongst us who are doing that, I pray that you will go to them right now and that you will equip them with the gifting they need. Would you equip them with patience and tolerance? And would you give them permission to care for themselves as they care for others? Holy Spirit, as they are caring for others, would you care and minister to them? We thank you for them, for what the work they do, for the way they care for dependents, for those who are older. I also want to pray for those who are elderly. You can self-define on that. Beryl said over 60, so. But you're elderly and you feel it. And it's like Liz was saying, it's not a great, and Alison just said, it's not a great place. You're in a, I don't like this stage. I want to pray for you that the Lord may give you more enjoyment of being of this stage of life. So, Holy Spirit, for those of us who are elderly, would you revitalize us? Would you give us, amidst the restrictions we have, we can't lift as much as we used to lift. We can't physically put in as much effort as we could before. We forget things. But Lord, you know us, you still love us, and you've got a purpose for our lives. And I pray that you would revitalize us, fill us with your Spirit, show us what it is that you have for us to do. For those who are down and depressed about that, would you come with new life and healing? And I also sense that this is an opportunity, this area of ministry, for reaching out to into our community. We do lots of stuff with young people and children and the poor and all that, and that's great, and we need to carry on doing that. But there's also an opportunity as we look for and see those who are elderly and think, like Liz is saying and Beryl was saying earlier, think of ways that that the Lord Jesus would love to demonstrate love for them, part of our kingdom ministry. So I just pray that right now you would be stirring in our hearts, the people of Leeds Vineyard, ways in which we can reach out into our community. Lord, would you stir up ideas, gifting, anointing to reach out to people who are elderly and bring the love of Jesus to them, maybe for the very first time after a life long lived.